Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
How are you?
Doing great.
Doing great?
Doing great. Didn't you love our friends from New Zealand, their response on Twitter to, like, getting that New Zealand episode of the Pop Shop last week?
They had a little, like, dancing disco person.
They were so cute. Yeah, Drax. We're talking about Drax Project,
right,
by
last
the way.
Week's episode.
Yes, it was really sweet. I loved it.
Did they say something special about it?
No, I just liked that.
They tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I like that they tweeted about it.
And also, we're pimping last week's episode.
Yeah, oh yeah. Listen to that. But also listen to this one.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I never do that line, so I wasn't even looking at it.
No, I'm giving you this line to do this week.
As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we'll be talking about big chart news from Logic, who scores his third number one album on the Billboard 200 chart, Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber's splashy debut on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart with I Don't Care, along with discussions about the music videos for I Don't Care and Lil Nas X's Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus. They came out on the exact same day. How Rihanna has confirmed she is working on a reggae album, and DJ Khaled's new album that has 5 billion approximate music videos to
correct.
Go along
That's
with it.
That's the correct number, yes. Yeah. Plus, we have an interview with rising singer-songwriter A.J. Mitchell. The artist, who just turned 18 earlier this month, is enjoying his first Billboard chart hit with the single All My Friends, which has hit the top 30 of the Pop Songs Airplay chart. In our interview, we talk about how he got discovered via social media, how he was pursued by a lot of labels until he signed with Epic Records, and how he's super pumped to release his new album. So stay tuned for that a little bit later.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Okay, so first up, let's talk about some charts. We have a few. We are Billboard. We've got charts.
There's a couple charts.
We've got more than a handful. Hmm. Logic notches his third number one album on the Billboard 200 chart as Confessions of a Dangerous Mind debuts atop the tally. Now, the set starts with 80,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending May 16th, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, 24,000 were in album sales. It was overwhelmingly powered by streaming activity, as per usual,
yeah,
for hip-hop albums.
Yes.
Fun fact, Logic's album is the third with the word Confessions in its title to hit number one, following Madonna's Confessions on a Dance Floor and Usher's Confessions. I also looked up how many number one albums have included the word dangerous.
Okay. I'm guessing Michael Jackson was one of them.
Michael Jackson's Dangerous.
Yes.
The soundtrack to Dangerous Minds.
Oh, I've got another one. Beyonce's Dangerously in Love.
And if you count Dangerously.
Right, right.
That would be in there too. And I think there was one more.
Oh, shoot.
There was one more that I've forgotten.
I was going to ask you if you have seen the movie Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
No, that has Sam.
Sam Rockwell. Directed by George Clooney.
Oh.
Yeah, he directed it. And
it was, wasn't it about...
it's about the guy, the Barris,
the show.
Chuck Barris, is
Chuck
that
Barris.
Right? Who, yeah, he hosted the Gong Show, yep, and said he was a CIA agent. It was never, like, confirmed, because obviously those are very secretive things. Mm. But, yeah, it's a really, like, crazy bonkers movie. I'm guessing Logic enjoys it.
Oh. Well, over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, where Lil Nas X's Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus is holding firm at the reins at number one.
Oh, goodness.
For a seventh straight week. We are in. How long will this thing be number one? Do you want to shall we just take it? This is not part of the script.
Well, we know it'll be at least 8 weeks because, as we're going to talk about, he released a very popular new music video for the song this week. So, like, that's going to go on next week's chart.
I'm going to say 11.
I like 11.
I feel like it could be more, though.
Especially considering
radio is still
the people
gaining.
He's taken down. Like, the people in his wake.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that
right
now.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But, okay, if you're saying 11, I'm going to say a dozen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's very plausible.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's number one for a seventh straight week. Meanwhile, Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber's, I guess we can call it a duet.
Equal billing.
Yeah. Co-billed song, I Don't Care, debuts straight in at number two. Now, if I Don't Care doesn't go any higher than number two, it will mark the fourth single that has been blocked from number one by Old Town Road, following Shawn Mendes's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird when Basically. You have an S at the end. Shawn Mendes's If I Can't Have You.
Oh, still love that song, guys.
Which debuted at number two last week.
Yes.
And then Taylor Swift's Me featuring Brendan Urie, which zoomed from number 100 to number two 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And then Post Malone's Wow, which actually stalled at number two for three weeks in total. One of those weeks was behind Ariana Grande's Seven Rings, and then two of them were behind Old Town Road. So I still think it counts technically because, you know, any one of those 3 weeks, it could have been number one had it not been for Old Town Road or Ariana.
Yep.
I think Gary Trust, who manages the Hot 100, has written about this particular interesting statistic on Billboard.com. If he hasn't, he probably will very soon, or he'll probably even talk about it in his Chartbeat podcast.
Yeah.
Because what Old Town Road is doing in terms of blocking these songs that should normally be number one is fairly unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be comparing that to other songs that have done something similar in the past.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's just kind of thwarting the planned...
The
establishment of what they assumed would be probably number one singles.
I mean, if anybody
Taylor
had
and Sean
told you and, that Taylor Swift...
Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber are going to do a duet. Oh,
yeah.
That's number one. Oh, well,
exactly.
Sorry, Lil Nas X has something to tell you.
Yeah. And I think, like, maybe Sean wouldn't have expected to debut straight to number one. That's not his MO or hasn't been his MO. But, like, clearly this was a huge song. But Taylor. I think Taylor's the one that's just like, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Taylor can't even do it.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see Ed and Justin and Lil Nas X go head-to-head yet again next week
right.
on the chart because both of them released their music videos for these two songs on Friday. So it started with Ed and Justin's song, which has this little cheeky new video, which saw the two superstars popping in and out of crazy scenes and costumes thanks to some green screen magic.
Lots of green screen. I guess we can call it magic in quotes.
Yeah, I mean, it was purposefully very crude. Yeah, yes,
mm-hmm.
that was not purposeful.
Mm.
But it was very, you know, crude-looking technology.
You.
Get out of here. Anyway, the video gave me real John Mayer New Light vibes.
There's you with a John Mayer reference.
Yeah, well, you already brought up Madonna on this episode, so you know
Get
what?
Out of here. Get out of here.
But seriously, you know, they were trying to make it be like real. I mean, like one costume that I think Bieber's wearing is like a ear of corn, and then like the green, you know, stalks or whatever coming from the corn can't be seen on the green screen because they're green.
Right.
So it's just this floating corn head. Like it just like purposely looks bad.
Are the two of them actually ever?
Great question.
I mean, I know they're side by side in that pool shot where they're both on chairs, but I don't know if they were actually in the studio together.
They didn't need to be.
Well, they're actually, but see, they put out those promotional pictures of them where they're like standing next to someone. They're like, it's a prom shot. So maybe they were there in the
maybe,
studio together.
Maybe.
I don't know. What do you, I mean, do you like the video?
It's fine. It feels like they didn't care very much.
Yeah, I was, it's not what I would expect from a video from artists of those, of that caliber.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing feels a little throwaway. People really like the song. Like it's a very catchy little song.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I seem to be also a little underwhelmed
yeah.
by the song.
I mean, compared to, you know, I Don't Care, Lil Nas X's video is rather epic.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I think some might say cinematic.
Cinematic.
It's actually referred to in the title, the YouTube title of the video, as a movie.
Well, at least they didn't call it a visual.
Artists love doing that. Yeah, but compared to the sort of like low-budge graphics of I Don't Care, it is basically a movie, the Old Town Road video. And obviously, this song needed some extra promotion, so they had to put a video out.
Yeah, they didn't have to bother with a video at this point.
It has real Blazing Saddles vibes because we've got Lil Nas X riding his horse through an old Western movie. And then there's a little time traveling element involved where they skip to the year 2019. And just like people are sort of flummoxed by the Black Cowboy in 1889... they're still flummoxed by the Black Cowboy in 2019.
Right.
Doesn't become any less like weird or jarring, which he kind of is going through like a city street and people are just staring him down as he wears his like, you know, cowboy hat and like old timey outfit. Anyway, super cute little video. There's cameo. It's not little. Super cute, very high budget video where Chris Rock pops up in the beginning in the Western scene. Diplo pops up. Playing whatever that instrument's
a
called.
Washboard. Sure.
In a 2019 bingo scene. So, anyway, just watch the video.
Just watch the video. Because he needs the extra views.
He does. Some other big news that came out this week. Rihanna confirms that her next album is going to be a reggae album.
That makes perfect sense.
It makes all the sense in the world. I'm excited about it. She sat down with the New York Times Tea Magazine for an interview that was actually conducted with playwright Jeremy O. Harris in London. Rihanna doesn't do very many interviews, so this is very bizarre that she did the interview, period, but then it's with this playwright, and it's for the New York Times Magazine, and it's all very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She talked, of course, about her Fenty collaboration with LVMH, which is the Louis Vuitton fashion house.
Louis Vuitton Moet Hermès, I believe.
Yes,
is
correct.
Yes.
All run by Selma Hayek's husband. Super billionaire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he runs the show.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the topic switched to her highly anticipated 9th album. She said she's hard at work on her reggae album, which remains without a release date, and she admits that she's leaning toward R9 for the title, since that's what fans keep bum-rushing her with on Twitter.
Huh.
She said, quote, "So far, it's just been R9 thanks to the Navy. I'm about to call it that, probably, because they have haunted me with this R9, when is R9 coming out? How will I accept another name after that's been burned into my skull?" She also debunked a few online rumors regarding possible collaborations that are on the horizon. She said that there wasn't anything finished with Lady Gaga, but that she wouldn't rule it out in the future. She said, quote, "Maybe because she followed me on Instagram." That's why people probably assumed that something was in the works with the two of them. She said, "It's not in the books right now, but I'm not against it." So we're, of course, here for that.
She does not. She's swiftly turning into sort of a Beyonce.
I don't know the last time she did an interview. She's definitely done the Beyonce route of taking beautiful photo shoots and maybe writing a letter or something.
It's like, let me give you some quotes about things.
Exactly.
Like my favorite flowers.
And talks a lot about her Fenty beauty products and whatnot, but not a lot about music recently. So
I thought it was so interesting. Like when she was on the cover, I think it was, Vogue? Mm-hmm. I think it was Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like a month or two ago. And it was those really striking images with all sorts of like incredible makeup. And it wasn't just American, I think it was like American Vogue and British Vogue and some other Vogue. And I was like, oh, is there an interview? I think I was telling you, is there an interview inside? No, it's just like a pictorial. And then I realized, oh, all that makeup, it's her own Fenty line of makeup.
Yeah.
Like, she's no dummy.
She is. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, she needs to promote.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to be on the cover of Vogue. I won't give you an interview, yet I'll be advertising my Fenty makeup.
Yeah, exactly.
Smart girl, that Rihanna.
And another self-promotional legend, DJ Khaled.
Who has collaborated with Rihanna in the past.
Indeed. He released his heavily hyped new album, Father of Assad, on Friday. And
it's supposed to come out last year, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, when I say heavily hyped, I mean he's been talking about it for like a year,
mm-hmm.
at least. But he has released it with a storm of music videos. I'm just going to read off the list of what's come out so far. It started with the video for Higher, which features John Legend and the late Nipsey Hussle. And Khaled announced last week that all proceeds from that song are going to benefit Nipsey's children, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he probably, even Khaled has limits to his self-promotion. I think he probably didn't want to look like he was trying to make money off of this man's passing.
Yeah.
And so he's giving all that money to his family, which is great. And the video is beautiful, by the way. He shot it with Nipsey days before his death. So it's a legitimate music video starring Nipsey Hussle. And the lyrics and the video are all sort of like, you know, one of those things kind of like Tupac where they reference his death and his life before he even died.
Yeah.
anyway, it's beautiful. Check that out. So the next video after that was For Just Us featuring SZA. Then Celebrate with Travis Scott and Post Malone. Then Jealous with Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, and Big Sean. Then Holy Mountain featuring Buju Banton, SZA, Mavado, and 070 Shake. You Stay featuring Meek Mill, J Balvin, Lil Baby, and Jeremih. And as of our recording, the last video to drop was Wish Wish featuring Cardi B and 21 Savage, which arrived on Monday. Oh, and he also performed on SNL with 8 of his closest friends and collaborators on Saturday night for the season finale of the show.
What did DJ Khaled actually do during the performances?
He just stands there.
DJ Khaled.
Listen, I love DJ Khaled's whole deal, and he puts out some good music. But the SZA video, which I watched, which is actually another very cinematic video, it kind of looks like the 300 or, you know, like Gladiator or something. Like, it's got a very old, you know, Roman vibe. And he kind of talks a lot and just drops these nuggets in the song, and you're just like, just let me listen to SZA, you know? Like, he goes, this is what an angel sounds like. Like, when SZA's singing, and it's like, she's singing.
She's singing. Let the angel sing. Let the angels talk. We want to hear what she has to say.
So, oh, this video came out on Friday. This album came out on Friday. Keith, is there any indication how it might perform on the Billboard 200 next week?
Well, one note, all these videos will not, they
count
don't direct,
the album
they're
charts.
Not counting towards the album chart.
Right.
The album chart, the Billboard 200, all of our consumption charts include album sales, track sales, and then on-demand audio streams.
Yeah.
These videos are video streams, so.
Which will count toward the Hot 100, but
yes.
Not toward the Billboard 200
so
album
he
chart.
He could swamp the Hot 100 with all these things.
Oh, yeah.
That
and
Nipsey Hussle video probably will do great numbers, who knows.
Probably won't beat Old Town Road, but yes, it will do well.
Right. Well, I don't have a forecast quite yet. The interesting thing is that DJ Khaled's album, Father of Assad, was released on the same day, and that's through Epic Records, which is a label on Sony Music. It was released on the same day as Tyler, the Creator's new album, Igor, which was released on Columbia Records, which is another Sony label.
Ah.
So Sony has two competing hip-hop projects against one another. If I'm to believe what I'm hearing in the scuttlebutt of the universe, it could be a battle for number one between these two albums. And I think part of the reason why forecasts are so hard to do right now, as of this recording on Monday, and even if you were listening to this, say, on Thursday morning, you know, on the last day of the tracking week, it still could be difficult to predict, because I'm assuming both artists and labels are going to pull out every stop they can to figure out, like, where they can find every last sale and every last stream. Because I think both artists probably want to be number one.
Well, but it's interesting the fact that they share Sony in common.
You think someone would
a label v label situation.
You think someone would have figured out some street dates and said, you know, maybe we should put out a different album then. But I mean, we've seen the same thing happen within like the Universal family of labels. Like, we've had Interscope and Republic going up against one another. Remember, a couple months ago, it was like the week after the Academy Awards, and A Star Is Born was vying for number one, to return to number one. At the same time, Ariana Grande's Thank You Next looked like it could hold on to number one. And suddenly, like, both albums, who had already been number one, were locked in a battle for number one.
In a heated battle.
I'm like, yo, come on. You're both on the same, but it's like siblings will battle each other for mom's attention, which I think happens all the time.
I know you don't understand this reference because you don't watch the NBA, but currently Seth and Steph Curry are playing against each other in the NBA semifinals.
They're on different teams?
They're on different teams. Mom and dad are sitting in the stands and having the greatest time, because they win regardless.
Right.
And they're like rooting
all
for
they
both
do is
of
win.
Their sons. All they do is win, said DJ Khaled.
Dun-dun-dun. Full circle. now it is time for our interview with AJ Mitchell, the 18-year-old who just turned 18 a few days ago.
He was a mere 17 when we chatted with him.
Incredible. He stopped by the office recently for a great chat about his rise to notoriety and how he got his first hit with All My Friends. He was just 13 years old when he started posting videos of him singing on social media, and that quickly turned into an opportunity at just 14 to move to Los Angeles. Now, just a few short years later, he's got a record deal with Epic Records, an album project on the way, and his first Billboard chart hit. He's doing pretty well,
I'd say.
So take a listen to our interview with AJ Mitchell.
They say that love is true. I'll find somebody new. Everybody looking like a honeymoon. But all that I've been looking for. beautiful as me and you.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, AJ Mitchell.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine, but you should be doing better.
Yeah, we're not as good as you are.
Yeah, you're
why not?
You're signed to a record label and you've got a hit single, so you know.
Oh.
It's a little bit helps. Slightly cooler. The levels of cool and like.
Oh, no, you guys are cool. Good. You guys are super cool.
You're saying all the right things, AJ.
It's because you got the snacks.
Yeah. We've told AJ about the snack closet. All right, so seriously, though, you've got your first charting hit on Billboard's charts with All My Friends.
Yeah.
It's a top 40 hit on our Pop Songs Airplay chart, which actually measures the most played songs on mainstream top 40 radio in the U.S. So you have one of the 40 most played songs on top 40 radio.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The most insane thing to ever happen to me in my life. Like, it's so surreal.
How does it feel to have this song, you know, be kind of like your breakthrough hit and you know, with audiences in such a big way?
It's honestly the craziest thing, especially I'm really happy it's with this song too, because it's more mature than the last music I put out, but it's also I'm turning 18 soon, so this song kind of like matures me.
Right?
Yeah, I'm 17 right now. 18 next month, May 17th.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
So like, you know, how can you compare it, you know, this song to some of the previous songs? You said it's a little bit more mature, and I think if people had your EP from last year, there were some mm-hmm. dancey moments on it.
Yeah,
like, and this one is more full-on kind of like ballady with you playing piano in the video.
Yeah,
so it's kind of super different.
Yeah, it's kind of like ballad, but also like when it hits the chorus, it's just like it just feels huge. So like you get some of that ballad, but you also get some of like the pop into it, like that big pop chorus.
It's ready for a dance remix.
It is. Yeah, we got totally. We actually got some.
Yay.
Coming soon. Yes, we do. Yeah,
from your lips. there's a team of people here with AJ. So there's really dance mixes coming, you guys.
Yeah.
No one. There's sort of weird nods that go
they're
in sort of a
lying.
Circle. They're not doing yes or no. Really, there are dance mixes.
Yeah, maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. That's probably
nope.
Why.
Too late now. Hate
Oops.
To tell you, but we're recording this.
Yeah. Perfect. Hey.
You mentioned that your birthday is just next month and that you turn 18.
Yes.
Have you already graduated high school? Like, where
so
are you
I'm gonna
school?
Be. Yeah, I do online school.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing online school like. Sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because I went to public school my whole life until freshman year. That's when I moved out to LA. But yeah, I've been doing online school. I have one more month left, and then I don't have to think about it ever again. I'm excited.
Congratulations.
But I'm excited. I'm graduating.
So when you graduate, because I went to normal school, mm-hmm. Do you get to walk in a ceremony anywhere? Or where's your diploma from? Like onlinehighschool.com or what?
It's honestly, I have no idea. I don't think there's like a ceremony where people like,
you
walk
can buy a cap and gown and do it on like your Instagram
yeah,
story
I could, like,
or
do
something.
It, like,
that would be
down
a great
the street
moment for Instagram.
Where my parents are all lined up clapping like two people.
You can have your own little graduation party.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Invite fans.
Oh, that,
play
that's
some
actually
music.
A good idea.
You can play your
play
own,
some new music.
There you go.
Play the remix.
Uh-huh.
The
it's like we're working for marketing
remix.
For Epic or something.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Great plan.
Feel free to hire us. So I actually saw an interview where you said that you moved to Illinois when you were 2 months old
mm-hmm.
because you were born in California.
Yeah, I was actually born in Fairfield, California.
That is where I am from.
Are you serious?
That is where
That's
I was
so
born.
Crazy.
That's so cool.
I saw this interview. I'm like, wait, did he just say Fairfield? I was born there.
No way.
Though I lived there for more than 2 months.
We're family. Yeah. We're family.
See? Technically, yes. We are from the same city.
Probably exactly. The same hospital, honestly.
Seriously.
Well,
are there a few?
I feel like in the time elapsed between his birth
okay.
and mine, there might have been more
maybe
than one
different hospitals.
But your parents lived there, I guess, because one of them was somehow affiliated with the military somehow?
Yeah, so my mom's dad was it was in the military, so she was like a military
grad.
She was born in Spain.
Oh,
actually, wow.
So she moved around everywhere, and when she ended up in California, that's when she met my dad. She was at a store or something. My dad was what do you call it? The cashier?
Mm.
Or whatever, and that's how they met.
That's how they met?
Yeah, that's how they met.
That's
then,
nice.
I think they like 1 year passed and they got married, so that was it was pretty
it
quick
was, that's
decision.
A good love story.
Yeah,
I like that
love story. And then so I was born in California and then moved to Illinois to be closer to family.
Mm. Wow.
But now I'm back,
but
so
you're
the family
you're
the family
still
back
technically
too.
Californian though technically
right
you can claim both states I think
I can claim both I guess.
I mean in a
pinch. I like California.
I'm gonna play that up
but
as long
I'm
as I
definitely
can.
I would definitely say like I'm from Illinois since I'm like that's where I was raised.
Yeah.
My whole
you
life.
Don't really have any memories of 2 months old being in.
No.
Have you been back to Fairfield ever since?
I haven't.
Oh.
If you're ever driving.
I actually drove by and there was like a sign that said Fairfield, California.
You were going
I almost
on Highway
wanted
80.
To. Yeah, exactly. I almost wanted to go and just like see. but me and them, I'm not able to do it.
And you guys, so before you came out to LA, you started posting videos online, right? And that's mm-hmm. how you ended up out here. So what age were you when you started posting things on socials?
I started posting things when I was 13.
Okay.
Wow.
Just to see, like, what my friends would think. And yeah. They're like, yo, man, you good? Like, keep posting more. So it gave me the confidence to just, like, keep posting more videos. Not only just covers, but original music that I was writing at the mm-hmm. time, too. So I was putting that out there. And then one day, randomly, I got a shout-out from this page. They had a million followers. It was called Tus Mejores Chicos. And
it's,
I got...
It's what called?
It was called Tus Mejores Chicos. It was,
okay.
Yeah, it's Spanish. So, okay. So it was actually really funny.
What does
really
that mean?
Funny.
Do we know?
I think it means, like, well, Tus Mejores Chicos.
Is it
like boy.
The better men?
The better men?
Your better men? I don't know. I think Mejores is better.
Mejores.
And Chicos is definitely boys
yeah.
or men.
So, okay, so you, okay, anyway.
Oh, man, I should not be translating.
Yeah, this is not good. We should have known.
Yeah, they're like, that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
that's we need not Ciencio what back.
Yeah, where is Ciencio? Yeah.
I know, right?
So anyway, they,
yeah,
they sent you
they
a
did that. I got 15,000 followers in one day. It was
whoa.
The best day of my life.
Does this Instagram still exist?
Are you Googling
I think it
yet?
Does.
I don't know. You
I think
keep talking.
I
I'll look.
They still post like singing videos and like.
Where were you posting video. Originally? Like, which were you on Twitter, Instagram? Like
Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't have a Twitter. I had a Facebook at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
I had a Facebook when I was like 12, and actually didn't want to switch over to Instagram, but all my friends were like, "Yo, you gotta hop on Instagram. That's where
they
it's
were.
Cool.
Your friends were probably right.
Yeah,
that's
they were
where,
right.
That's where things
and
were heading.
And because of them, that's you know. Got on Instagram.
Are you finding the
yeah, it's
page?
Not this one though.
Oh. Oh, no.
Is it not?
No, it's not that.
Definitely not that one.
Definitely not that one. I'm like, is
yeah.
it that? No, we're closing that one.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay, moving on.
Oh
so I just missed what he just said.
Well, no, he was posting on Instagram, which
mm-hmm.
made me wonder because we were looking at, you know, there's of course amazing success stories of people posting online, like Shawn Mendes came from Vine and Justin Bieber posting on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, did you look at people like that and think like, I could just do this for myself too. Like, I don't need to wait for a deal or something. I just post stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of another reason that I wanted to start posting videos because I saw other people gaining a fan base just from posting videos, and I was like, you know, maybe I can do that as well.
Yeah,
and
it worked, obviously.
Yeah, very fortunate that I got that shout out. And then
basically they pimped you on their platform.
Yeah,
brought you a whole bunch of followers. How many followers did you have before that?
Like 2,000.
Wow.
Just from like friends and family, mm-hmm. like in my hometown.
And then suddenly, like, boom! It's funny boom. How like one like shout out. Or like one like
can really take off.
We've weirdly seen that here at Billboard. Like if Bieber like quote tweets someone on staff, suddenly everyone's like, "I have like 500 new followers. And I don't know where they came from." It's
yeah.
like Bieber.
Yeah.
He quote something Bieber. Happened with Bieber.
If he posts anyone, they're
the
getting
answer
followers.
Is Bieber.
It's like Selena mentioned you. What?
Yeah.
So I also read though at some point you caught the attention of another like big account,
mm-hmm.
Jake Paul,
yeah.
who DM'd you
mm-hmm.
and. Basically said, yo, come to Los Angeles?
Yeah, basically he was like, hey, I have a cool opportunity for you, which was his social media group, which for me at the time, I was like, this is such a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
He has like 10 million followers. It was like the first time a verified checkmark DM'd me. I was like, whoa, what's going on right now? And my parents are very supportive, so they let me go out to L.A. My mom came with me. We came out to L.A., met up with him, and the opportunity was to join the social media group. We all lived in the same house, and I was... giving some of my social media followers to them. They were giving their social media followers to me mm-hmm. by just posting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great concept.
Yeah.
And after a while, it just became more of like comedy social media stuff and
less of the music.
Also, yeah, less of the music.
Right.
And for me, I didn't want to get caught in that in like a influencer social
mm-hmm.
media personality. I wanted to become like an artist. And
right.
I didn't want people to take my music as a joke. Because they were posting like parody videos of other songs.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be associated with that. So after a while, being in the group was great for the couple months that I was in.
Yeah.
But then it just started to go downhill from there. And I was like, all right, I need to transition out. So I ended up leaving the group. And that's when I met my manager. And that's when things kind of got started.
You're a smart man. Because obviously music is the priority for you.
Yeah,
so that's what
priority.
You wanted to focus on.
Yeah, it's always been the priority for
though
me.
I feel like, I mean, I actually watched like a lot of the, I think, vines that you were doing when you were with, it's Team 10, right?
Yeah, Team 10.
Is that
yeah,
what
yeah,
it's called?
That's
is that what the kids call it?
Oh,
that's
what it is.
Sorry, I'm sorry. But you were singing for the most part in a lot of them.
Yeah,
like, even if
exactly.
it was like something funny, like you would still be like legit singing a song.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it would just be clips of you singing. So it seems like you were always still... being a musician.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to do like anything too
Well, we know Jake Paul is a little bit crazy with stuff.
He's definitely a little bit crazy. So
he's kind of a polarizing figure. Yeah. Some could say you know, in a very neutral way. So how old were you when you moved to LA and to do all that?
Yeah, so I moved to LA when I was 14.
Wow.
But your mom came with you.
My mom came with me the first time.
And then it was like, let you go and be a teenager in LA?
Yeah. Then
shut up. No.
It was the hardest, it was the hardest thing for her to do. It was hard for her.
She's obviously so supportive, though, came out here with you in the first place.
Yeah, she came out, met with everyone. She's like, all right, like...
Where did you live?
I lived in the house with all of them.
Oh my God.
Wait, okay, so...
I know, it sounds crazy. It sounds like absolutely nuts, like a bunch of kids living in the house. But
it does. I'm sure there's adult supervision. Everything was fine.
Yeah. Something like that.
Sure.
Something
everything
like that.
Was fine. Definitely.
No, everything honestly was
fine. Was probably
fine.
18 in the mix.
I'm sure. Yeah, someone was probably legal. It was
just
fine.
Someone just turned 18. It was great.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. Moving on.
Yeah.
No, honestly, like it sounds crazy, but nothing was like actually that abnormal.
Yeah. Well, so when you made the decision to leave that team, what did that mean for like your living arrangement? Like, where did you move?
Yeah, so then,
to,
like,
suddenly
then after
in
that,
a car?
No, hopefully
not.
Living on the streets.
Right.
No, I actually
right.
once I moved and got out of that, that's when I said like my manager. That's when I met my manager, and mm-hmm. so I lived with him for a year and a half.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
And your parents were they coming back every so often to like check?
Yeah, every
with
once
you?
In a while, my mom would come out mm-hmm. like every like. 2 weeks or every like month or so.
Oh, yeah.
She would
okay.
come down. So yeah, yeah. exactly. She couldn't stay like too long.
You've had like the craziest life as a teenager.
Seriously.
It's been a crazy journey, but it's been one of the best journeys, and yeah. I get to do what I love every day. So.
And obviously you've been doing this, I mean, posting and everything for like 4 years. So, you know, to some people who are just getting to know you, they might think it's like an overnight success
right.
sort of thing,
yeah.
but you clearly have been hustling for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah. I've always been, you know, just trying to get my music out, and I just want people to know that I'm a songwriter, and
you've been writing
this is
since
the music
you were
I've been doing. I've been
old.
Writing my whole life. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that start? You said, yeah, as we were looking, we saw 6 years old is when you started writing songs. Like, mm-hmm. is that just something that just seemed natural to you? Like, oh, I'm going to write a song now.
Yeah, it was pretty natural. I guess my dad, he was learning how to play the piano, and he was writing songs just as a hobby. And I kind of saw that, and I was like, I want to do that myself. Hopped on the piano when I was like six, started messing around, and I wrote a song. When I was six and wrote my first song that day, and after that I was like, whoa, this is fun. So it just became a hobby of mine. It was like before school, after school, even during school, I'd like go in the music room and like sneak in the piano and like just play and write. But any chance I had, I loved it.
Yeah.
Did you take
get away from it?
Did you take like proper like lessons, piano lessons when you were little?
I took lessons. I wouldn't say proper lessons because my piano teacher, his name's Gary, we would just like jam out for 30 minutes the whole time, and it was actually super cool. Like, he wasn't like, I'm gonna teach you how to play classical music. It was like, we're gonna do what you want to do. And I loved the Beatles at the time, so we got a Beatles book, had like all their songs in it, and I would go in and we'd just learn a song every day. And I think that was really helpful growing
that's
up.
Smart.
It wasn't like
you didn't lose interest.
No, I didn't lose exactly. And like once we did start to because actually he saw it, like once we started to learn how to play classical music, like I started to lose interest,
yeah.
and once we switched over, it was like, it was so much fun.
I definitely
fun to
quit
me.
Piano lessons.
Yeah,
for that
my two sisters
reason.
Quit too, like
yeah.
they were both in it. Yeah, then we stopped. Exactly.
Yeah, just to fast forward, because we've established like where you came from.
We established the background.
You are, you're signed to Epic Records,
mm-hmm.
and you released your major label debut EP, Hopeful, last
yes.
year. How did Epic find you in the first place?
Yeah, so my manager threw a boat party. It was for his company that he had. It was called Gin & Tonic. But anyways, he had a bunch of people come on this boat party, and I performed, and also this other group, Life of Dylan, performed. And my A&R, Joey Arbogee, happened to just be on the boat, and he works at Epic Records, and he saw me, and after that, he just hit up my manager for like 9 months straight and was like, yo, let's get this going,
oh,
and
man.
Finally...
So they were pursuing you.
Yeah, but they were pursuing me. There was a lot of other labels, and...
feeding frenzy. There's a bidding war.
Yeah, there's this little something going on, and after a while,
little,
it just felt
like
Epic...
Little something going on there. Just gloss right over that.
Little something going on there. But then just Epic just felt right. Like everyone at Epic, it just like there was just like a connection.
Yeah.
Like it felt like family. It didn't feel like business or like didn't feel like
it was comfortable.
Record label. It just felt comfortable, yeah. Exactly. And I think that's why we went with Epic.
Wow. I saw that there's an interview where you said that you were really close to being done with your like full length album.
Yeah. So at that time,
90% is the quote.
90%. Now it's at like 98%.
Oh, sure. Okay.
The 2%. It could like go down. Mixing, mastering.
Yeah. Like, fans listening, it could also go down. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. Right. Now it's at 95%.
Oh, so you're close.
Yes.
Do you have any idea very about close. Timing at all, or
timing?
That
hopefully
out?
In like 2 months.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna say.
No, no one in the room.
We're getting
is,
you to say things.
I'm
that
like
you...
looking around, nope. Making sure like this is all safe
don't,
to
don't
say.
Don't hold AJ to that.
Yeah.
Release dates are always subject to change.
So
change.
Can we talk
but
about what the vibe,
very, very
the vibe of the album is like?
Yes. So like I was saying earlier, like I'm turning 18, and like more of my music has become more mature.
Sure.
But most of this music, compared to the EP that I put out, most of this music on this album are songs that I wrote. Like 90% of the songs. So it's really cool. It's like, I'm very, very excited for this project because this is like something I've been working on for like a whole year. And now it's like, it's not one song I'm putting out. It's a whole album, a whole yeah. project that I've spent so much time on working. And it's, I'm so pumped with this.
And it's so personal since
it's
you
so
did
personal.
So much writing on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the writing, just circling back. So you play piano.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play it well enough? I don't take this however you want. You can
yeah.
shoot me. Do you play it well enough to like sort of play it live, like in
yeah.
concert too?
Yeah, definitely. I could, yeah, for any of the songs, I could probably just hop on the piano and, wow. And play them like.
You're about to start piano. A tour. Are you planning on
I am.
Getting on the piano a little
I
bit
am.
On stage?
For,
nice.
For a couple of the songs,
cool.
piano, also guitar, pull out.
Awesome. Do you play piano, some. Guitar, anything else? Xylophone.
I play the xylophone, the sax. No, just kidding.
Cowbell.
I'm very
triangle.
Good at the cowbell. The triangle, I'm the best.
Yeah, that's. I think all of us are super amazing at the triangle.
Yeah, I think we can all.
You
got to
have
that.
Rhythm for the triangle, though.
Yeah.
So on the tour, so when people hear this, you might be in the middle of the tour, or depending on when they hear this, there could be some time machine action happening because
mm-hmm.
you're about to go on the road as we talk now.
Yeah, in like a couple days. Yeah,
do you even have rehearsals?
I have rehearsals
today
after
the
this.
Tour.
For
oh,
the
you
tour.
Do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Katie,
right.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That I don't know.
We were talking
we've
before
talking.
We were recording.
Katie did
we're
a pre-interview already. Are you going to be...
She told me the snacks on.
Yeah.
I saw snippets of you performing on your other previous dates where you're like dancing and there's dancers and stuff. Is that happening too?
So, no, that's not going to be happening okay. this time.
Is there going to be any dancing from you? Because you have upbeat material.
Yeah, so I'm going to be busting out a couple moves.
Couple moves.
On stage.
Some choreo.
Nothing like too dancey. Like, I'm definitely not like a... crazy professional like I don't I'm not like a crazy dancer at all
you're
but
more
I'm,
into the,
I'm,
the instruments
I've
and
written.
The
yeah
okay
I'll say that I guess
you can say whatever you want but
the
you,
fans can do the dancing for you
yeah,
exactly.
during the concert
exactly
you're allowed to move on stage don't
yeah.
worry
yeah
you can move your legs
that's
it's
right
fine.
That's right
What else, Katie?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, you have tour. We've established the new album's coming out. Like, what else is on the horizon? What do we need to be looking for from AJ
yes.
Mitchell?
Hmm. Oh, man. We got most of the main things out. Tour, the album.
What else do we want?
Friends.
Yeah, we're needy.
What do you guys want?
What do you want?
What do you need?
Did you ever foresee yourself about to turn 18 when you were 13 and you were mm-hmm. starting to post stuff on social media? Did you ever think that when you'd be turning 18, you would be effectively on the road, signed to a major label with a hit song?
With
on
a top 40 hit.
Not at all. I thought I was going to be a senior at high school, not knowing what I was going to do with my life. So,
like
to
the
be
rest
able,
of us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm going to work in construction. That was like my goal. But now I get to, you know, like I said, I could do what I love every single day, and it's the best thing. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. That's
if
awesome.
I answered your question.
That sounds
did
like
that
the perfect note
no.
to leave things
sorry.
On. Things are good for AJ Mitchell.
Yeah,
I tend to do that where I like go off the question and I'm like, wait, did I even answer your question?
That's the best way to do it.
Boom. Drink my water now.
Thank you so much for coming in
thank
today.
You so much.
And good
so
luck
much.
With everything.
Thank
good luck
you.
With the tour.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Let's talk to you soon. All my friends are locking it up.
Thank you again to AJ. We are looking forward to hearing more music from you and, you know, from hearing about all your adult adventures.
Yeah. Now that you're 18.
Right.
Now that you can vote.
What are you going to do now?
What are you going to do now? Have a cocktail? Nope, you can't
nope,
do that.
No.
You
go
can,
to Canada.
You can
wait,
vote.
Wait, no, you have to be 19 for that too. Okay, never mind.
You just have some good, clean voting fun. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Forty years ago this week, when disco was ruling the airwaves and the Billboard Hot 100 chart, the rock band Kiss scored a disco rock hit with I Was Made for Lovin' You. The track bowed on the list dated May 26, 1979 at number 70, and ultimately topped out at number 11 for 2 weeks, starting on August 11th of that year. It's one of those darn tracks that peak at number 11 for more than one week. I mean, really, the worst...
You just want to say top 10. It just has such a good ring to
it. You don't want to say, as we talked about earlier with Ed and Sean and Taylor, you don't want to say number 2.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to say
even
number 2, 11.
Wildly impressive, number 2.
Yes.
And number 11 as
but
well.
You're so close to saying top 10. You could have been number 1. You could have been top 10. You could have been top 20, top 40. But no, you were number 2, 11, 21, or 41. Anyway, I Was Made for Loving You peaked at number 11 for 2 weeks in August of 1979. Now, the track was the 8th top 40 hit for the band on the Hot 100, and their final visit to the top 40 until more than a decade later, when they hit the top 10 with the power ballad Forever, co-written by Kiss's Paul Stanley and, wait for it, Michael Bolton.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, power ballads, Michael Bolton, go hand in hand.
Of course.
Fun fact, I Was Made for Loving You was co-written by Stanley, Vinnie Poncia, I apologize if I pronounce that last name incorrectly, and Desmond Child. Now, if you're not familiar with Desmond Child's work, you probably
actually, you are.
You are. You just didn't know it. Child would later co-write many songs with Kiss, but also carve out an incredible career co-writing such top 40 hits for other acts like Bon Jovi's You Give Love a Bad Name and Living on a Prayer, Cher's Just Like Jesse James with friend of the podcast Diane Warren, Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady, Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca, and Katy Perry's Waking Up in Vegas, just to name a few.
Yeah.
So there you have it. 40 years ago this week, Kiss's I Was Made for Loving You began its story on the Hot 100. Alrighty.
Disco Kiss.
What's your... I was made for loving you, baby. Such a great song.
Oh, man.
I weirdly, maybe not weirdly, considering, I mean, I don't know. I like Kiss's hit singles.
Yeah.
I really enjoy, you know, I mean, who doesn't like Rock and Roll All Night, Party Every Day, Detroit Rock City, Beth.
I'm with you.
I mean, Forever was schlock, but it was fun schlock.
Yeah, exactly.
I think even Kiss knows it's schlock.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, they got flack for I Was Made for Loving You to a certain degree because it was, like, sort of, I think, seen as, like, a sellout disco
right,
hit
right.
at the time. I'm like, the Rolling Stones did Miss You.
Exactly. Everyone had their moment.
Barbara
Rod
Streisand.
Stewart.
Rod Stewart. Rockin' yeah. Rod from yeah. the Faces. He did Do You Think
it
I'm
did
Sexy.
Did not hurt him. And if anything, was even cooler now when you look back at it.
I think you probably have to weather that time mm-hmm. of, like, some backlash, certainly in the very, like, in the early 80s, maybe from like pure raucous.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing that happens with any rock band now. If a rock band suddenly has a pop hit,
yeah.
You know, I think you have rock purists that get pissed off because
yeah.
it's like, oh, like you're selling
I don't
out.
Know. Where are those people anymore? Rock purists? Are
yeah.
there still those people?
Maybe things have changed a lot.
Like,
you know,
were people mad at Portugal the Man? No. Like, they just had a big-ass hit.
Did anyone really know of Portugal the Man so much beforehand?
When I worked at MTV, we covered them, like, a decade ago, like, when they were just a struggling indie band. And then that song, I was like, really? Portugal the Man? Like, I'd been hearing about them for years.
I feel like Red Hot Chili Peppers got a lot of flack when they had really popular hits with Under the Bridge and Give It Away.
See, well, and I didn't know they existed until then.
Oh,
you know
I mean,
what I mean?
I knew of them before that because they were on MTV with the Higher Ground and the stuff from the Mother's Milk album. But
yeah.
they already had like two albums before that or something.
I just think the idea of purism in any sense is so dumb because as we've learned, it's, you know, there's a whole world out there and pop is just like what's popular. It doesn't mean,
yeah.
you know, doesn't mean a drum machine or whatever.
And after all, Max Martin, who we talked about in last week's show with Drax Project, he used to be like in a sort of hair metal band
exactly.
in the 80s.
I love that we brought that up twice in two episodes now. Remember Max Martin's metal days?
Who doesn't? Okay, any parting words, or, or were those our parting words?
I think those were definitely our parting words.
Like, let's just...
But what do we go out on?
Fall into a hole talking about, like, rock purists and
right?
Kiss's disco classics.
Should we do... Oh, maybe we should do... what'd you say, Rolling Stones? Miss You?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.